This conference is being recorded.
Okay, well, welcome everyone. Tonight we have a wonderful guest speaker, Jim McAfee, and we are going to be discussing some of our favorite topics, but tonight we'll be on aloe vera, especially our aloe vera juice. And Jim is going to share with us many wonderful benefits to aloe. But before we get started, I'd like to share with you a little bit more about who Jim McAfee is. He has graduated summa cum laude from Westmont College and magna cum laude from Dallas Theological Seminary. His graduate dissertation was on the subject of fasting, which kind of led him on the path to working in the field of nutrition. He has worked as director of nutritional research for Image Awareness Corporation since 1974, and a lot of what you'll hear tonight is direct reflection of his research abilities. He became a certified clinical nutritionist in 1991, and since then has become a member of the American and International Boards of Nutritionists, of which he now sits on the board, and he's one of the ones that I think gives them direction on, you know, what should be on the test for nutritionists, the test that they take every 2 years. He's spoken for many groups and organizations around the world. He is a guest speaker for radio and television shows, and he's talked to thousands of people around the world and has written books and newsletters and audio tapes. And besides all that, Jim is a wonderful friend and a mentor and just an overall great guy. And I'm just so proud to know you, Jim. So we welcome you to the call tonight. And why don't you share a little bit with us about aloe vera? Well,
thank you, Cheryl. I've never really done anything on aloe from the standpoint of a talk, and except, you know, briefly in passing, and I wanted to do this as the topic. You'll also, if you go to imageawareness.com, my last newsletter is posted there, and it's called All About Aloe. So some of this information will be on there. Some of this information isn't in the newsletter. Aloe is a very, very interesting plant, and I happen to grow aloe in my yard. One of the interesting things I really enjoy about it is in the springtime it sends up these long spikes with trumpet-shaped flowers, and the hummingbirds will actually fight for the nectar in the flowers. And I've had two of them fighting right in front of my living room window trying to get that nectar from the flowers. It's a plant that's been used both externally and internally for 4,000 years. As a matter of fact, Alexander the Great, before he went on his march to conquer the world, he sent his army to the island of Socotra, which is off the East African coast, to conquer that island so he would have a source of aloe to heal the wounds of his soldiers as they fought their different battles. And aloe kind of lost prominence for a while, but then after World War II and the dropping of the atomic bomb in Hiroshima, was observed that aloe was actually the absolute best means of healing radiation burns and X-ray burns, things like that. So it actually came into quite a bit of prominence. One of the most common problems that I see is indigestion, and particularly heartburn and GERD. And I've found through just trial and error over the years that aloe really is one of the most wonderful things for those problems. And I want to start out by sharing a couple of stories, and these are actually letters that have been written to me by some of our customers. First one is from a young lady named Rose. She says, "I recently experienced a 2-month-long bout of acid reflux, which was so bad that I could not lie down or even recline for 8 hours after eating even a light meal. The only thing that did not bother me too much was fruit. I called Jim and he suggested exercise and aloe. The daily swimming and yoga I was doing was apparently not enough to stimulate digestion. I immediately started biking and a little walking. Within 3 days, I could lie down after eating. Within 1 week, the acid reflux was totally gone. Whenever I get a recurrence, I use the Allo Plus. That and Betagest are very, very helpful. So she was really helped by three things: exercise, the Allo, and Betagest. Here's another situation. This was really an interesting one. It's the story of Margaret. She says, I was having problems after eating. It was uncomfortable and painful even to drink water. I was using powerful medications to try and deal with this problem, trying to alleviate it. I was on my way to my physician's office when one of your distributors mentioned that I should try the Allo drink. I came by the Image Awareness office and bought a small container of the Allo juice. I took it home and took it 15 minutes before I left for the doctor's office. I was relieved of my problem within 2 minutes of taking it. By the time I got to the doctor's office, I felt like I did not need the appointment. But then I discussed with my family physician what I had done. He was interested in what I had taken and was going to get some for himself that night. And we had another interesting situation, too. Our secretary here at the office, Dorothy, had a husband who had suffered with GERD and reflux for many, many years. And she brought him in to talk to me. And right in the middle of our conversation, he had an attack of just a terrible heartburn. And so I opened up an Allo, some of it, and within a matter of a couple of minutes, his pain was gone. He took that one container of Allo, and he's never had a recurrence of that problem. So Allo is an incredibly healing thing for the digestive tract. It's healing in many other ways, too, that I'll discuss. But I think it's this particular formulation of the Aloe Vera Plus is wonderful for digestive problems. Let's talk about some of the distinctives of that particular product. First of all, GNLD produces its aloe to the standards of the International Aloe Science Council. This is an industry group that has established quality standards for aloe vera products. And it's very, very important that those standards be met, as you'll see as we discuss some of the properties of aloe. The Aloe Vera Plus is 50% aloe, and it's 50% a very special herbal tea blend. Now, when you're extracting an aloe product from the plant, there are two kinds of processes that you can use. You can do what's called whole leaf extract, or you can do the gel only. And GNLD has decided that really the only way to go on this is the gel only approach. They use mature outer leaves that are about 2 to 3 feet long, and the mature aloe plants actually have more of the healing properties than do younger plants, and a lot of products use young aloe plants because you can produce them faster than you can the more mature plants that take 3 or 4 years to mature. The outer surface is stripped away, but before they strip away the outer surface to reveal the inner gel, they have to sanitize that outer leaf so bacteria don't get into the product. And so GNLD uses a gel-only fillet process, and what that does is that avoids the undesirables that are actually in the outer part of the leaf. Aloe contains two powerful categories of substances. One is the gel, and the other is it's called exudates. It's actually it contains a yellowish fluid, and it's been given the name aloin. Now, this yellowish substance that you don't really want in your product, it kills cells in very high concentrations. It actually will kill worms in the digestive tract. The only problem is it's a very vigorous and powerful laxative, and no one willingly would want to be ingesting aloe that had a lot of this yellowish fluid in it because they would be experiencing a lot of digestive discomfort from it. And that substance is there for a purpose. It is designed to prevent animals from eating a lot of the aloe, because if they did, they would be having a lot of digestive problems. You know, plants all have protective mechanisms. Some of them have spines like cactus. Some have very hard shells like black walnuts. The aloe plant, its protection for survival is this very toxic substance in the outer part of the leaf. And so the gel-only process is a means of getting the beneficial things from the aloe, but leaving that behind. The other half of the product is what's called a 3X herbal tea blend. And this 3X actually has three different components in it. The first one is a Siberian ginseng. This is what we call an adaptogen. It's a substance that protects against physical and mental stress, helps us to make changes in the environment. There actually have been over 1,000 studies done on this ginseng demonstrating that it tends to enhance and increase energy production and stamina. It helps the body to detoxify, and it is absolutely great for improving resistance to infection. We have a lot of potential harmful microbes in the gut, and so ginseng, from the standpoint of improving resistance to infection, very, very important because we get a lot of exposure to potential microbes in the gut. Also, the ginseng is commonly used as a supplement for endurance feats to help deal with fatigue and weakness and depression. The second component of that threefold herbal tea blend is chamomile. Chamomile has a tradition of many, many years standing of being one of the most helpful of all the herbs for a broad spectrum of digestive problems. It promotes relaxation, but in that relaxation, it doesn't impair either mental or motor functioning. So if you take this, it's not going to tend to put you to sleep, but it's going to be very calming, particularly to the stomach, to the digestive process. But also, chamomile is helpful with inflammation, bacterial and fungal growth. Those are real problems in the digestive area. It tends to soothe cramping. Sometimes people just get uptight and they have cramping in the gut. Potentially, this is something very helpful there. And also, it's very helpful for insomnia and nervousness. We had a fellow named Jim in San Antonio, and he had a terrible insomnia problem. He started using a little bit of the aloe vera plus, and he called us up and he said, you know, this is the only thing that's ever worked to enable me to sleep through the night. So in certain situations where there's difficulty sleeping, this is something well worth trying. The third component of the herbal tea is the passion flower. And the passion flower has been used for hundreds of years to soothe pain and inflammation. And it's particularly helpful in situations where there's a lot of stress or where there are hormonal changes going on. For example, in a menstrual cycle or menopause or things like that, childbirth, where you've got hormonal disruptions, passion flower is something that can really help to balance the body out. So this product, it has the aloe, it has the herbal tea blend. In the herbal tea blend, not only do we have those three key herbs, but also it has electrolytes, potassium and magnesium. Those are very, very important for proper muscle functioning. You know, a lot of digestion has to do with the peristalsis, the contraction of the muscle to move the food through the digestive tract. And if you are lacking in magnesium, it's impossible for those muscle cells to relax. They'll kind of remain in a state of contraction or tetany all the time. And you'll have a real problem with constipation. And when I talk a little bit later on about a little bit more about GERD, constipation is one of the key triggering factors for that. And if you're low in magnesium, nothing else is going to help the situation. You've got to have that particular mineral. So it's one of the components. Another ingredient is vitamin C. It actually has 170% of the daily value. And the role that vitamin C plays, there's a lot of blood vessels that supply the stomach with nutrients and with energy. And vitamin C is very, very important for maintaining the health of those blood vessels. Also, the it's so important to get the nutrients in there. You know, there are three very energy-demanding tissues in the human body. First is the brain, which uses incredible amounts of the body's energy and nutrients. The second is the heart, and you know, if either one of those stops, if your brain stops functioning, your brain dead. If the heart stops functioning, you're physically dead. The third energy-demanding area of the body is the stomach, because of the tremendous amount of energy it takes to produce the hydrochloric acid to be able to digest our food. And so the stomach requires a lot of blood vessel support, and the vitamin C really helps to maintain that, one of the great things about this product. And then finally, it is sweetened with fructose, which is a slow-release sugar. Fructose only has a glycemic index of 20, whereas regular glucose is 100. It has a great natural flavor, has the taste of aloe, the herbal tea and the lemon all blend together to make a really good-tasting beverage. And I don't know if any of you have tried different aloe products, but most of the products that are being sold would gag a maggot. They're pretty bad. And all of this, and a serving only has about 16 calories, so it's not going to put weight on. As far as the gel, I touched on that. There are actually over 200 individual components or constituents in the aloe. But the most important is the complex carbohydrates. They're called polysaccharides. The most important one of those is called mannose. And this is really a very, very significant carbohydrate. One researcher said, "I like to compare mannose to a Christmas tree upon which the other essential saccharides are affixed like ornaments." And this is what gives the aloe a lot of its different properties. Now, these complex carbohydrates that are in aloe, they're kind of like beads on a necklace. And you have different sizes of beads. For example, you have small beads that are 70 to 650 in length. And those are the ones that lower blood sugar, that alleviate inflammation, that help with arthritis and colitis and things like that by suppressing that inflammation. Then you have medium-sized beads. These have about 1,500 beads on the chain. You wouldn't want to wear that. but these things have tremendous antioxidant activity, and they appear to help reduce the risk of free radical damage when you have something like heart disease or cancer. And then you have the large beads, and this is actually 4,000 to 5,000 beads in these carbohydrates. And these are the ones that have the incredible antibacterial and healing properties in aloe. And then you have the extremely, extremely large chains of beads in the aloe. This gets up to as much as 8 and 9,000 different carbohydrate links. And what these things do is they support the immune response. They actually stimulate antibody formation. They activate the natural killer cells to produce anti-tumor substances. So you have this wide spectrum of effects of aloe, and it all goes back primarily to these interesting, very, very complex carbohydrate molecules that you don't find in a lot of other foods. Now, as an anti-inflammatory, aloe has been used to reduce pain. It's been used to help heal damage from wounds, from burns, corrosive chemicals, radiation, infection. And the key thing here is if aloe will work, it's far safer than anti-inflammatory drugs. Even aspirin has side effects of causing microhemorrhages. Well, aloe, because of the way it does its anti-inflammatory effects, it doesn't have these harmful side effects. And it's been used for colitis, for Crohn's, for hay fever, for asthma. The digestive tract of the average American is prone to a lot of inflammatory activity. Why? Well, you look at the food that we eat, and what's done to it. It's irradiated. Most of our wheat, our fruits, our meats are all being irradiated now. Foods, we overcook our foods. Anytime you do outdoor barbecue and things are blackened, you got actual carcinogens in there. That promotes a lot of inflammation. Anytime you eat a breakfast cereal like a cornflake, there's a substance in there where the sugar bonds with the protein. It's totally undigestible, promotes inflammation. Rancid oils are used in all the restaurants. Not all of them, but many the inexpensive restaurants that people go to, they cook with rancid fats. That promotes inflammation. And then the foods in the supermarket oftentimes sit around for long periods of time, and they grow bacterial and fungal organisms that can contribute to inflammation and immune compromise. And aloe is something that helps us to deal with all of these issues. Our foods really have deteriorated incredibly in the last few years. Aloe, not only is it anti-inflammatory, we'll talk about some of its different properties here, it also has tremendous healing properties. And I already shared with you how Alexander the Great felt about aloe. The ancients, you know, they knew by practice that this promoted healing. Remember hearing Ivan Danoff in the introduction of one of the aloe products for GNLD, and he said, applying it topically, you could actually reduce the age spots on the skin. And I should mention that GNLV does have a topical gel in the cosmetic line that can be used, and it's incredibly moisturizing for the skin. It helps to heal thermal burns and also radiation burns. Some of the most interesting research is on digestive conditions. They took patients with peptic ulcer, 12 of them, and they found that when they put them on aloe, there was the dissipation of all symptoms after a year. And there's very few other things that could produce that kind of a result. You're not going to find any pharmaceutical company, unfortunately, that's going to study the properties of aloe for healing because you can't patent it. It's a natural product. So there's not a lot of studies that are being done on it. The rapid healing on the digestive tract is very, very helpful for allergy situations because when we have a gut that's compromised, that has holes in it, what we call leaky gut, people become more and more allergy prone. So the more rapidly you can heal that up, the less likely you are to see the spread of allergies from one thing to another. Aloe also has what we call a prebiotic effect, which means that it promotes the growth of beneficial organisms while inhibiting the growth of harmful ones. For example, one study, they gave 10 subjects aloe, and the head researcher, whose name was Bland, found that there was a markedly better stool biology after the use of the aloe. And what they found is that there was a drop in the yeast growth in the gut. So this product could be potentially very beneficial for someone that has an overgrowth of Candida albicans, where it's out of control. Aloe also has a hypoglycemic effect or an anti-diabetic effect. It tends to lower the blood sugar. One study saw a drop in blood sugar from 273 to 151 milligrams per deciliter. The interesting thing here was the insulin didn't change. What the aloe did is somehow it helped the tissue cells respond to the insulin better. There was one placebo-controlled study in 1996 where they gave patients only a tablespoon of aloe twice a day with the drug glyburide, which is a diabetic-type medication. And what they found was that the diabetics receiving the aloe with the medication had lower blood sugars and lower blood fats than those that were using the drug alone. Diabetics really are notorious for suffering with digestive problems. And so potentially aloe is very beneficial. However, I do recommend that if a person has a serious case of diabetes, they should talk over with their physician the use of the aloe. The use of the fructose rather than other sweeteners is going to reduce the risk of the aloe throwing blood sugars up. Another thing that aloe does is it helps with something called phagocytosis. What that is it's the process whereby the white blood cells in defending the body surround and gobble up bacteria and viruses, and they also destroy toxins in the same way. So aloe is, not only does it help with our immune defense, but it is a powerful internal detoxifier and cleanser. Here's what one research had to say about the polysaccharides in aloe. This is Plaskett. He said, specialized molecules in aloe vera whole leaf extract interact with special receptor substances that are embedded in the outer membrane of our immune system cells. The result is that the immune system cells are galvanized into action. In particular, the class of cells known as phagocytes increase the activities by which they attack and then engulf bacteria, waste products, and debris. This increase in scavenging activities cleanses the body with knock-on benefits for a whole cascade of different medical conditions. And he points out that there are actually 100 different medical conditions that appear to respond favorably to aloe supplementation. Aloe also is a mild stimulant for bowel function, often will relieve constipation. It speeds healing, preventing allergy development, and also it helps reduce prolonged exposure to things like Candida albicans and H. pylori, which if they get a real foothold can be extremely damaging to the gut. There's also a carbonated aloe product. I'm not going to really talk about that. It's very similar to the aloe vera plus, except it's carbonated. What I have found in working with the products is that the aloe vera plus works better for people. So generally I work that one, but if someone is just looking for something like a champagne, the carbonated aloe can be very good. And I want to wrap this up by talking a little bit about GERD, because I see so much of this, and you know, almost everyone you talk to seems to experience it once in a while, and a very large percentage, probably as much as about 25% of the American population, on a recurring basis experiences a GERD. And what it is there's a sphincter, scientifically they call it the lower esophageal sphincter. I'm going to refer to it as LES. So just think of a person as less. And what this little sphincter does is it allows food to pass through. And what it has to do is it has to relax at just the right moment to open up. Then it has to close down to prevent the hydrochloric acid in the stomach or other acids from backing up into the esophagus. The esophagus is very, very delicate tissue. And it can be scarred and calloused and things like that if it's exposed to acid all the time. So when a person has this backup phenomena, they get chest pain, heartburn, difficulty swallowing, inflammation of the lining, the esophagus. You can actually get a narrowing of the esophagus, and it becomes very difficult for food to move through. And very, very serious. Some symptoms, common symptoms of GERD, reflux disease, cough, hoarseness, voice changes, chronic earache, burning chest pains, nausea, sinus inflammation, and ultimately can lead to ulcers and cancer. Now, what causes this problem? There's a number of different things that are thought to contribute to it. One of the really big ones is constipation. If someone is constipated and they're straining at the stool, it actually puts pressure on that esophageal sphincter, and over a period of time it will weaken it. so with the low residue diets that people eat, it's contributing to this particular phenomena. One researcher suggested that as much as 90% of the cases of GERD are tied directly or indirectly to constipation. Well, aloe helps regulate the bowel. But of course, other supplements that would be helpful from this perspective would be fiber and acidophilus, which also would tend to promote normal elimination. Another factor is hiatal hernia. And this, of course, goes back to constipation, too, because if someone strains at the stool, they push the stomach up through the diaphragm, and then the muscles of the diaphragm squeeze on the stomach, and you have all this pressure that's backing up against this little valve at the top of the stomach. Obesity puts pressure on the valve. A high-fat diet can create reflux. It's very interesting. They did a survey of people, and they found that 76% of them experienced GERD when they ate fatty foods, particularly if they did it prior to going to bed. So one of the little recommendations you can make for people if they're suffering from a lot of heartburn and things, waking up in the middle of the night with the GERD, is to have them avoid fatty foods before bedtime. And this would have to be at least 3 hours before bedtime because it takes a long time to digest fat. Also, they've observed in studies that fatty foods increase the number of relaxations of that esophageal sphincter. So it's going to compound the problem. Sometimes excess acid will cause GERD, but actually that's a pretty rare and pretty well-defined disease disorders. On the other hand, low stomach acid can cause GERD, and you saw in one of the stories that I started with Rose there that the stomach acid, the Betagest, actually helped her condition. That's not unusual. It's estimated that 40% of Americans do not produce enough stomach acid, or perhaps I should say that we eat so much food that we can't produce the stomach acid we need to be able to digest that food. It can be either inability to produce or overeating, so you don't have enough stomach acid to digest the foods. When you don't have enough stomach acid, what happens is the food will rot in the stomach rather than being broken down by the stomach acid. And you actually get different acids than the hydrochloric acid in the stomach, and they can actually back up and create more damage than the hydrochloric acid itself can. Another thing that can create problems with this esophageal sphincter is low mucus production. And this can result from dehydration, not drinking enough water. And also if a person is deficient in vitamin A or zinc, that will cause a decrease in the mucus. It actually protects the lining of the digestive tract from acids. Excess calcium, particularly calcium that's in an antacid form. You know, there's a million doctors out there that have probably told people, take Tums for your calcium because it's a good source of calcium. Well, that's the exact kind of calcium that's been observed to create a lot of GERD problems, because what happens is you get an acid rebound and stomach starts working overtime. The best form of calcium supplementation to use is the chelated calcium that GNLD has, where you have it wrapped with protein so it doesn't function as a powerful antacid triggering this GERD problem. Gallstones can cause GERD. A wide number of foods, particularly if someone's allergic to those foods, alcohol, coffee, soft drinks, large meals, chocolate. One study found that 40% of people got heartburn after they ate chocolate. Peppermint, acid foods, dairy products. Some people react to cruciferous vegetables. Taking vitamin C just before going to bed can create a problem for some people. Coffee was interesting because it's not the caffeine, so decaf coffee won't protect from this problem. It was something in the coffee itself that was actually triggering the GERD. Also, posture. If someone has a slouched posture, the direct path from the esophagus into the stomach gets crimped, and that can set a person up for GERD. Finally, there are a lot of medications that cause GERD. Calcium channel blockers, morphine, Demerol, dopamine, Valium, barbiturates, theophylline for asthma, progesterone, beta androgenic antagonists, aspirin, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, and acids. All of those have been observed to create this problem. So potential things that can help, I think aloe is a great help, avoiding the things that create the problem. Weight loss, if someone's overweight, and here's where your GNLD, glycemic response control program, can come in. Elevating the head of the bed 6 to 8 inches can be helpful for many people. And then avoiding eating 2 to 3 hours before going to bed usually will be helpful. And I usually tell people, try and avoid heavy protein meals and heavy fat meals just before bed. That's about all I wanted to share with you tonight. So we'll open it up to some questions here if anyone has questions on this.
Well,
okay,
Tim,
go ahead and open it up.
Yeah, go ahead. That was phenomenal. I mean, you guys asked for it, so boy, did he give it to us.
Makes me want to go out and want to start drinking aloe.
I'll tell you. Well, you know, I do drink it every day, but I had no idea the value that we receive from drinking that little bitty aloe every single day. But I guess I'll start with the first question, Jim. You know, you kind of focused a lot on the digestive group of people, probably for a good reason. But I wanted to ask you, you know, I have a lot of athletes that I work with, and they like to freeze the aloe and it kind of freezes like a slushy. And then when they're exercising, whether it be cycling or running or whatever, they drink it. And they say that they have greater endurance, they have less recovery time, they have less muscle fatigue and cramping with drinking the aloe. So, you know, along with groups like that, are there other groups of people that can benefit from the aloe?
Well, I think you see from the discussion that I did that most people will benefit from aloe supplementation. And with the athletes, you know, the whole thing that exercise does is it tears the body down and you have to rebuild it. And the aloe, because it's accelerating the healing time, it's going to really help them recover much better than they would recover if they weren't using the aloe.
Did you come across any studies with athletes in aloe or no?
I wanted to focus primarily on the digestive aspect because
yeah, that's fine,
but that is such a problem that I see on a day-to-day basis.
Are there any other questions?
But I know there are a lot of studies with the ginseng, for example, showing incredible increases in endurance and stamina.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, we're not talking just about aloe here. We've got a product that's been put together with synergistic herbs and the aloe to get the best of both worlds there.
Okay, any other questions?
If you guys are muted, you'll have to push star 6 to unmute yourself. No? Let me make sure I have this unmuted. They might be trying and we're not getting through. Hang on a second.
Okay.
Ah, there we go. You guys should be live now.
Anybody there?
We're here.
Ah, there we go. There's some people.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
No,
I have one.
Okay.
This is Ann. Robbins, thanks for letting me listen in on your call tonight. On the kidney and bladder, are there any specific things you can talk about there other than the things you've already talked about with inflammation, et cetera?
Yes, actually, they have used. I actually skipped over that part of it here, but they have used mannose, which is the key ingredient in aloe. Now, there was a study on mice And what they found was that it inhibited urinary tract infections and reduced bacterial growth in the urinary tract. Nobody has done the study on human beings, but the physiology is pretty similar there. So it wouldn't surprise me if the aloe was beneficial for urinary tract problems in human beings, just like it is in mice.
Jim?
Yes.
Hear me? This is Dale.
Yes, Dale.
Okay. My mother is a testimony to what you just said, because she was very prone to bladder infections. And 1 year, she had three, just one right after another. I said, Mom, we got to do something with this program. We've got to add something to it to keep you from doing it. Oh, do I have to swallow more pills? And I said, no, not this time. We're going to put you on aloe juice. And she at first didn't know whether she liked that or not, but we put a little bit of juice with it, a different fruit juice. And she drank that, and as long as she stayed on that, then we gave her the acidophilus and a little garlic pearl at that time. And we pulled, you know, we give her the one that later after it came out. But anyway, as long as she stayed on that, she never had another bladder infection for the rest of her life. And she lived to 101.
Wow.
Maybe the aloe helped her live to 101, too.
You bet.
That and the rest of the product.
The boost of the immune system there.
Wow, that's great.
Any other questions?
And the recommended amount, Jim, is it 2 ounces in the morning?
Two ounce serving is what they have. And that's usually all I use with GERD. I just tell them to try that. Sometimes people find they benefit from a little more. A lot of times people will do fine with just 1 or 2 ounces.
So if they're having heartburn after a meal or something, they just take a couple ounces of aloe?
I tell them just, you know, try it. We usually, you know, there's two sizes. There's the small one and the large one. I usually sell these people that are suffering with this problem the small one, and I say just give it a try and see if it's going to work for you. And almost invariably they come back and they start, by the big one, start using it on a regular basis. We see two things. Some people find they need to take it on a pretty regular basis. Other people, they just take it for a little while and then the problem heals up and they don't have any more problems.
Now, for somebody who has a hiatal hernia, which is, they can't reverse that, if they're having, you know, the heartburn, is it just because the little sphincter there is not able to close?
Well, it's, they can get heartburn if the sphincter opens up. Yeah, it's too relaxed.
Okay.
And, you know, there are other, we're looking at a muscle there. So if nutrition is very poor, for example, if someone happens to be low in B12 or folic acid or vitamin B5, that can affect the ability of the muscle to contract too. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't limit it just to the things we've talked about. I remember talking to a scientist, and he told me that he found some situations where people's muscles weren't contracting because they were deficient in the B-complex vitamins.
Hmm.
And I remember seeing a slide. I have it somewhere in my slide bank, and I don't think I've ever gotten transferred over to PowerPoint. But this was the muscle of a rat that they deprived of vitamin B5. And normally the intestine has a lot of muscle contraction going on, but with the B5 deficiency, there was no muscle contraction in the gut at all. So if you got a problem like that where the muscle doesn't have the energy it needs to contract, and that, then you're going to have problems with that sphincter.
Mm. Wow. We have such great solutions.
Magnesium is probably the most important thing for proper muscle function. And, of course, that's in the aloe product.
And I know you've talked about that in some of your newsletters, that they see a lot of magnesium deficiency because people don't eat leafy greens.
My next newsletter is going to be on magnesium. I already got it written.
Oh,
so
there
the next
you go.
Time we do one of these calls, we'll talk about magnesium.
There we go.
Well, and that's a good point. We will have these calls the first Wednesday of every month. Right, Jim?
Right.
So mark it on your calendar.
I think if there's a lot of people on that don't identify themselves, if they would like to get on Jim's email, I'm going to ask you if this is okay, Jim. They send us their email. You could put them on. Would that be a good idea?
Yeah, if you want to get notification of when I do a newsletter, just send me an email with your email address and ask to be put on the newsletter notification list. And I'll put you on, and I'll send you an email whenever I post a new one up on the web and give you the location of where it's at.
Which email should they use, Jim?
They can send it to jim@imageawareness.com.
Okay.
Now,
great.
Jim,
well, do you think I should go ahead and we'll just stop the recording now, and then we can all
yes,
just say our goodbyes?
Sounds like we're done.
Mm-hmm.